And good evening. I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you all very much for coming out this evening and braving the heat. Tonight, I'm going to try and answer a question that was given. And by the way, Owen, Anna, Nathan, Stacy, hello. Cheyenne, Savannah, the rest of you who are watching, hello. And hopefully I'll be able to answer the question. The question that was presented to my class was, can a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven? Okay? And we better hope so. Because if you were listening to Jim Case's sermon this morning, you would understand that in the eyes of most of the world, we are considered very rich people. So if rich men can't get into heaven, then we would be in trouble according to the way they look at us. The eye of a needle. Let's turn to, I'm going to read out of both places that it mentions it. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19 for the first one. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, well, then who can be saved? And everybody in the United States should be saying, well, oh man, am I going to make it? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So let's read Mark's version of this story. It's almost the same, but I like to get it from different points of view. So it's Mark, the 10th chapter. Excuse me, sorry. I'm going to start at the 23rd verse. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And so we have this idea that, you know, it's going to be the exceeding rich. And they're going to have to be richer than what we are because we think we're going to make it. And so it's got to be some other value of money that's out there in the world. And so it's got to be, you know, multimillionaires or billionaires that it's going to be hard for them, but we're going to make it because we don't have as much money as they do. Well, that's what the rest of the world thinks about us. So Here we go. Turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter, if you would. I want to start at the third verse. And Jesus is talking to the multitude there by the seaside. And he's teaching them in parables. In verse 3 it says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." You ever planted a garden? Sowed your seed? And if you've got a really good garden, have you ever noticed how well the weeds grow? Or is it just my gardens? I mean, weeds grow as good or better most of the time than the seeds that I sow. And so, you know, this parable is like, and some fell among thorns, and some fell among weeds, and they were choked to death. And it's like, oh my, yeah, that sounds like my garden most of the time. So let's go on, starting at verse 19 or 18, because Jesus Christ is explaining this to his disciples. And he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So the thorns and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The weeds, the thorns, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches can choke out the word of God from your soul. So is it bad to be rich? Is it impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Can a camel go through the eye of a needle? Yes, a camel can go through the eye of a needle, and yes, it's possible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Some of the things you have to understand is the time frame that Christ was teaching in. Okay? In the time of Christ, there were the trade caravans, and the camels were the beasts of burden that transported all of the goods along these caravan routes. And there was one place where if you could train your camels to get down on their knees, which is not an easy trick when they're fully loaded, and to crawl on their knees, you could cut days off of your route if you were willing to go through this opening in the rock called the Eye of a Needle. And there, I've seen pictures of it. It's a place in the hills that there's this, like a doorway cut through. And it's about this tall, just about my height. And if you can get your animal to crouch down and crawl through that thing, you cut days off of your route. But if you have 50 camels and you're trying to get 50 camels to do this and stuff, it's not an easy task at all. Even with just one camel, it's not an easy task to get a camel to crawl on its knees. So, is it possible to be done? Yes. Is it an easy thing to do? No, it's not. But it can be done. So, is it possible for a rich man to enter into heaven? Yes. Is it easy? No. But if he's willing to train himself and humble himself, it can be done. Depends on where he puts his heart. If you will turn to the book of Jeremiah, the 4th chapter, we're going to read some of the things that Christ was trying to get across to these people about planting your seed in the good ground. This is Jeremiah, the 4th chapter. I'm going to start at verse 1. And he's telling Israel, he says, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove." If you're going to come back to me, then do it. Come back to me. Put away your sins and come back to me. God's willing, but are you? "And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Let my fury come forth like fire, and burn, that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defensed cities. Set up the standard toward Zion, retire not. Retire and stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction." So he's telling them, you need to get ready. You need to get prepared. You need to get your heart in the right place. You need to hallow up that ground in your heart and plant the seed in a clean spot in your heart, not among the thorns. And let it grow, and let it bring forth fruit. And then you will not be destroyed when the destroyer comes. Turn to Hosea, the 10th chapter. Excuse me. Starting at verse 8, it says, "The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity, and did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shalt a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you, because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. So he's trying to tell them, you need to clean up your act. You need to clean up your heart. You need to get rid of the trust that you have in mankind and put your faith and trust in God and believe in him and start doing the things that he's told you to do. When he tells them, I will make Ephraim to ride and Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Judah, the words in this book, will plow the furrows of your heart. Ephraim shall ride the plow. But Jacob, or Jacob's ladder, or the word of God in the two sticks, that shall break up the clods in your heart. Okay, you know where it says that break up your fallow ground? Do you know what fallow ground is? Okay, fallow ground is a freshly plowed furrow. And you know, when if you've ever watched your parents' garden being plowed for the first time, though, that spring and everything, and it's that first time it goes through and the plow turns the soil over, and you can see the gleaming, glistening soil being turned over, and it just looks good, okay? That gleaming, glistening of the soil, that's fallow ground. It's full of life. Fallow ground. It wants to be planted. It's going to grow stuff like crazy, okay? But it's been plowed, but there's still the clods there, and they need to be busted up, okay? And that's what he's saying. This will bust up the clods if you put it together. You can plow it, and you can write it and say where I'm going to go with either one of these books, but when you put it together, it will break the clods down, and you're going to have some really nice soil ready for planting. Really nice. So we need to harrow up our hearts. Break up the clods in our hearts. Let's go back to Hosea, and we'll finish out what we were reading. Oh, I finished it. Sorry. Okay, let's go to the book of Alma, because we're going to do both books, and I'm going to do my best to break up the clods tonight in my heart and hopefully in the hearts of those who are listening. Alma, the 8th chapter. Going to start at verse 41. Alma and Amulek have gone to the land of Ammonihah, and they've been preaching to the people, and they've been preaching unto them the words of Christ, and they're trying to convert these people and get them to understand that they need to, basically, they need to harrow up their hearts or break up the clods and plant the seed. So starting at verse 41, and now it came to pass that when Amulek had spoken these words, the people, these are the people of Ammonihah, cried out against him, saying, Now we know that this man is a child of the devil, for he hath lied unto us, for he hath spoken against our law. And now he saith that he hath not spoken against it. And again he hath reviled against our lawyers and our judges, etc. And it came to pass that the lawyers put it into their hearts, and they should remember these things against him. And it came to pass that there was one among them whose name was Zizram. Okay. So just imagine me or one of the other ministers in this church, like DA, and we decide we're going to go to Washington, D.C., and we're going to go to the Capitol, and we're going to start speaking to the people about what Christ wants them to do and start preaching against some of the things about what the people in Washington, D.C. are saying is okay to do. How do you think they would react to us? Probably about the same way these people are reacting to Alma and Amulek. And you can pick any one of the representatives or senators that you want, and you can put them in the place of Zizram. And it came to pass that there was one among them whose name was Zizram. Now he was the foremost to accuse Amulek and Alma, he being one of the most expert among them, having much business to do among the people. Now the object of these lawyers was to get gain, and they got gain according to their employing. Go down to verse 52. All right, so they would do whatever they could to stir up the crowd to make something happen so that they could actually have a job. And the judge, whoever was going to judge this, the trial that these people stirred up, the judge receiveth for his wages according to his time a senine of gold for a day, or a senum of silver, which is equal to a senine of gold, and this according to the law which was given. Verse 57. A senum of silver, an amner of silver, an ezrom of silver, and an onti of silver. Verse 60. And these are their currency, their amounts of money. And notice that the last thing was an onti of silver. Verse 60. And an amner of silver was as great as 2 senums. And an ezrom of silver was as great as 4 senums. And an onti was as great as them all. And I tried to figure it up, and as close as I could come, 1 onti equals 7 senums. And a senum, a judge would get paid a senum for a day's work. And an onti was 7 days' pay for a judge. I know how much I make, and I know judges make more than I do. Okay, so judges make a pretty good living. And an onti is 7 days' pay for a judge. And we're going through this and explaining this because we need to know what's going to happen on the next page. Verse 64, Now it was for the sole purpose to get gain, because they received wages according to their employ. Therefore they did stir up the people to riotings and all manner of disturbances and wickedness, that they might have more employ, that they might get money according to the suits which were brought before them. Therefore they did stir up the people against Alma and Amulek. And this Zizram began to question Amulek, saying, Will ye answer me a few questions which I shall ask you? Okay, so we've got the thing set up. We know what's going on. They're trying to make money. Now Zizram was a man which was expert in the devices of the devil, that he might destroy that which was good. Therefore he saith unto Amulek, Will ye answer the questions which I shall put unto you? And you got to remember, Zizram was the best. Okay? He's the top lawyer in the land of Ammonihah. How much money do you think he makes a day? Probably quite a lot. And Amulek saith unto him, Yea, I will, if it be according to the Spirit of the Lord, which is in me, for I shall say nothing which is contrary to the Spirit of the Lord. And Zizram saith unto him, Behold, here are 6 aunties of silver. Here's 6 weeks' pay for a judge. And all these will I give thee if thou wilt deny the existence of a supreme being. This guy's pretty rotten. He's evil. Now Amalek saith, Oh, thou child of hell, why tempt ye me? Knowest thou that the righteous yieldeth to no such temptations? Believest thou that there is no God? I say unto you, Nay, thou knowest that there is a God, but thou lovest that lucre more than him. Your heart is set on riches. That's what you love. And now thou hast lied before God unto me. Thou saidst unto me, Behold, these 6 aunties which are of great worth I will give unto thee when thou had it in thy heart to retain them from me. Even if I'd have said, Sure, I'll deny them. You were going to keep the money anyway. And it was only thy desire that I should deny the true and living God that thou mightest have cause to destroy me. And now behold, for this great evil, thou shalt have thy reward. Okay, so he's called him out on it. This rich, highfalutin lawyer has been called out by the man of God. And Zizram saith unto him, Thou sayest, There is a true and living God. And Amulek saith, Yea, there is a true and a living God. Now Zizram saith, Is there more than one God? And he answereth, No. Now Zizram saith unto him again, How knowest thou these things? And he saith, An angel hath made them known unto me. And Zizram saith again, Who is he that shall come? Is it the Son of God? And he said unto him, Yea. And Zizram saith again, Shall he save his people in their sins? And Amulek answered and said unto him, I say unto you, he shall not. For it is impossible for him to deny his word. Now Zizram saith unto the people, See that ye remember these things, for he saith there is but one God, yet he saith that the Son of God shall come, but he shall not save his people as though he had the authority to command God. So he's trying to trip Amulek up in his words. And he's trying to get the crowd riled up against Amulek. Now Amulek saith again unto him, Behold, thou hast lied. For thou sayest that I spake as though I had authority to command God, because I said, He shall not save his people in their sins. And I say unto you again that he cannot save them in their sins. For I cannot deny his word, and he has said that no unclean thing can inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, how can ye be saved except ye inherit the kingdom of heaven? Therefore, ye cannot be saved in your sins. How many times have you heard or talked to someone from a different church and they say, Well, what do you guys believe in? And you tell them, You know, you have to repent of your sins, you have to endure unto the end, and if you die with your sins that you've repented from them and everything, then it's okay with you. But if you die in your sins, you're going to end up in hell. And they're like, Oh man, Sean, you go to a really hard church. You go to a church that I don't think I could handle going to that one, because, you know, in my church it says once you've accepted God as your Lord and Savior and either accepted him that way or even gone down into the waters of baptism if you want to. You don't have to, but if you wanted to, you can. Once you've done that, you can do anything you want, and God's going to save you because you've taken upon yourself his name, and that's the way these people think. Kind of sounds like Zizram, doesn't it? But Amulek sounds more like this church. Now Zizram saith again unto him, Is the Son of God the very eternal Father? And Amulek saith unto him, Yea, he is the very eternal Father of heaven and of earth, and all things which in them is. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And he shall come into the world to redeem his people, and he shall take upon him the transgressions of those who believe on his name. And these are they that shall have eternal life, and salvation come to none else. I'm just going to go ahead and finish out the chapter. Therefore, the wicked remain as though there had been no redemption made, except it be the loosing of the bands of death. For behold, the day cometh that all shall rise from the dead and stand before God and be judged according to their works. Now there is a death which is called a temporal death, and the death of Christ shall loose the bands of this temporal death, that all shall be raised from this temporal death. The spirit and the body shall be reunited again in its perfect form. Both limb and joint shall be restored to its proper frame, even as we now are at this time. And we shall be brought to stand before God, knowing even as we know now, and have a bright recollection of all our guilt. Now this restoration shall come to all, both old and young, both bond and free, both male and female, both the wicked and the righteous. And even there shall not so much as a hair of their heads be lost, but all things shall be restored to its perfect frame as it is now or in the body, and shall be brought and be arraigned before the bar of Christ the Son and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, which is one eternal God, to be judged according to their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Now behold, I have spoken unto you concerning the death of the mortal body, and also concerning the resurrection of the mortal body. I say unto you that this mortal body is raised to an immortal body, that is, from death, even from the first death, unto life, that they can die no more, their spirits uniting with their bodies, never to be divided. Thus the whole becoming spiritual and immortal, that they can no more see corruption. Now when Amulek had finished these words, the people began to be astonished, and also Zizram began to tremble. And thus ended the words of Amulek, or this is all that I have written. And so Amulek finished speaking to the people, he finished preaching to them, and when he was done, Zizram was trembling. So now it's tag team time, and Alma steps in. Chapter 9, verse 1. Now Alma, seeing that the words of Amulek had silenced Zizram, for beheld that Amulek had caught him in his lying and deceiving to destroy him, and seeing that he began to tremble under a consciousness of his guilt, he opened his mouth and began to speak unto him, and to establish the words of Amulek, and to explain things beyond, or to unfold the scriptures beyond that which Amulek had done. Now the words that Alma spake unto Zizram were heard by the people round about, for the multitude was great, and he spake on this wise. And so everybody's listening, because they see that their best lawyer has been put silent, and he's starting to shake. And so something's happening, and the people are getting really interested in this and excited, and they want to know how it's going to turn out. Now, Zizram, seeing that thou hast been taken in thy lying and craftiness, for thou hast not lied unto men only, but thou hast lied unto God, for behold, he knows all thy thoughts, and thou seest that thy thoughts are made known unto us by his Spirit. And thou seest that we know that thy plan was a very subtle plan as to the subtlety of the devil, for to lie and to deceive this people, that thou mightest set them against us, to revile us and to cast us out. Now this was a plan of thine adversary, and he hath exercised his power in thee. Now I would that ye should remember that what I say unto thee, I say unto all. And behold, I say unto you all, that this was a snare of the adversary, which he hath laid to catch this people, that he might bring you into subjection unto him, that he might encircle you about with his chains, that he might chain you down to everlasting destruction according to the power of his captivity. Now when Alma had spoken these words, Zizram began to tremble more exceedingly, for he was convinced more and more of the power of God. And he was also convinced that Alma and Amulek had knowledge of him, for he was convinced that they knew the thoughts and intents of his heart. For a power was given unto them that they might know of these things according to the spirit of prophecy. And Zizram began to inquire of them diligently, that he might know more concerning the kingdom of God. And he saith unto Alma, what does this mean which Amulek hath spoken concerning the resurrection of the dead, that all shall rise from the dead, both the just and the unjust, and are brought to stand before God to be judged according to their works? And now Alma began to expound these things unto him, saying, it is given unto many to know the mysteries of God. Nevertheless, they are laid under a strict command, that they shall not impart only according to the portion of his word, which he doth grant unto the children of men, according to the heed and diligence which they give unto him. Therefore, he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word, stony ground. And he that will not harden to his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until they know them in full. And they that will harden their hearts, to them is given the lesser portion of the word, until they know nothing concerning his mysteries. And then they are taken captive by the devil and led by his will down to destruction. Now this is what is meant by the chains of hell. And Amulek hath spoken plainly concerning death, and being raised from this mortality to a state of immortality, and being brought before the bar of God to be judged according to our works. Then if our hearts have been hardened, yea, if we have hardened our hearts against the word, insomuch that it hath not been found in us, then will our state be awful, for then shall we be condemned. For our words will condemn us, yea, all our works will condemn us, and we shall not be found spotless. Go down to verse 54. And so he has talked to them about Adam and the tree of the forbidden fruit and the tree of life and all of these things, and he's explaining all of this stuff to the people. You get down to verse 54, and it says, but God did call on men in the name of his Son, this being the plan of redemption which was laid, saying, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, then will I have mercy upon you through mine only begotten Son. Therefore, whosoever repenteth and hardeneth not his heart, he shall have claim on mercy through mine only begotten Son unto a remission of his sins, and these shall enter into my rest. And whosoever will harden his heart and will do iniquity, behold, I swear in my wrath that he shall not enter into my rest. And now, my brethren, I say unto you, that if ye will harden your hearts, ye shall not enter into the rest of the Lord. Therefore your iniquity provoketh him, that he sendeth down his wrath upon you as in the first provocation. Yea, according to his word in the last provocation, as well as in the first, to the everlasting destruction of your souls. Therefore, according to his word, unto the last death, as well as the first. And now, my brethren, seeing we know these things, and they are true, let us repent and harden not our hearts, that we provoke not the Lord our God to pull down his wrath upon us in these his second commandments, which he hath given unto us. But let us enter into the rest of God, which is prepared according to his word. If you'll turn to chapter 10 of Alma, the 31st verse, this is on page 352 in the Book of Mormon. And it came to pass that Alma spake many more words unto the people, which are not written in this book. And it came to pass that after he had made an end of speaking unto the people, many of them did believe on his word, and began to repent and to search the scriptures. But the more part of them were desirous that they might destroy Alma and Amulek, for they were angry with Alma because of the plainness of his words unto Zeezrom. And they also said that Amulek had lied unto them and had reviled against their law and also against their lawyers and judges. And they were also angry with Alma and Amulek, and because they had testified so plainly against their wickedness, they sought to put them away privily. But it came to pass, excuse me for a minute. But it came to pass that they did not. But they took them and bound them with strong cords and took them before the chief judge of the land. And the people went forth and witnessed against them, testifying that they had reviled against the law and their lawyers and judges of the land and also the people that were in the land. And also testified that there was but one God and that he should send his son among the people, but he should not save them. And many such things did the people testify against Alma and Amulek. And it came to pass that it was done before the chief judge of the land. And it also came to pass that Zeezrom was astonished at the words which had been spoken. And he also knew concerning the blindness of the minds which he had caused among the people by his lying words. Zeezrom knows that he's in trouble. And he's starting to believe Alma and Amulek. And his soul began to be harrowed up. It began to break up the clods in his heart, in his soul, under a consciousness of his own guilt. Yea, he began to be encircled about by the pains of hell. And it came to pass that he began to cry unto the people, saying, Behold, I am guilty, and these men are spotless before God. And it came to pass that he began to plead for them from that time forth. But they reviled him, saying, Art thou also possessed with the devil? And it came to pass that they spit upon him and cast him out from among them, and also all those who believed in the words which had been spoken by Alma and Amulek. And they cast them out and sent men to cast stones at them. And they brought their wives and children together. And whosoever believed or had been taught to believe in the word of God, they caused that they should be cast into the fire. And they also brought forth their records, which contained the holy scriptures, and cast them into the fire also, that they might be burned and destroyed by fire. Turn to verse 80. 80. This is on page 356, Book of Alma, chapter 10, verse 80. They've been cast into prison. They've been bound and cast into prison. They've been tortured in prison by the chief judge and the lawyers and some of the people. And then God delivers Alma and Amulek from these people. Verse 78 is where I'm going to start. And it came to pass that so great was their fear that they fell to the earth, the judges and the lawyers and the people that were doing harm to Alma and Amulek, and did not obtain the outer door of the prison. And the earth shook mightily, and the walls of the prison were rent in twain, so that they fell to the earth. And the chief judge and the lawyers and priests and teachers which smote upon Alma and Amulek were slain by the fall thereof. And Alma and Amulek came forth out of the prison, and they were not hurt, for the Lord had granted unto them power according to their faith which was in Christ. And they straightway came forth out of the prison, and they were loosed from their bands. And the prison had fallen to the earth, and every soul which was within the walls thereof, save it were Alma and Amulek, were slain, and they straightway came forth into the city. Now the people, having heard a great noise, came running together by multitudes to know the cause of it. And when they saw Alma and Amulek coming forth out of the prison, and the walls thereof had fallen to the earth, they were struck with great fear and fled from the presence of Alma and Amulek, even as a goat fleeth with her young from two lions. And thus did they flee from the presence of Alma and Amulek. And it came to pass that Alma and Amulek were commanded to depart out of that city, and they departed and came out even into the land of Sidon. And so they were delivered by the power of God, because of their faith in God, because of the righteousness of their hearts, and all of those evil, wicked people were destroyed. And behold, there they found all the people which had departed out of the land of Ammonihah, who had been cast out and stoned, because they believed in the words of Alma. And they related unto them all that had happened unto their wives and children, and also concerning themselves and the power and of their power of deliverance. And also Zizram lay sick at Sidon with a burning fever, which was caused by the great tribulations of his mind on account of his wickedness. For he supposed that Alma and Amulek were no more, and he supposed that they had been slain by the cause of his iniquity. And this great sin and his many other sins did harrow up his mind, until it did become exceeding sore, having no deliverance. Therefore he began to be scorched with a burning heat. So Zizram's mind, his soul, his heart was harrowed up. The clods had been busted up so much, and all the weeds had been tossed and turned and destroyed, and they died and everything. And he's got this raging fever in him from the guilt of it all, of what he'd done and the death of Alma and Amulek. Now, when he heard that Alma and Amulek were in the land of Sidon, his heart began to take courage, and he sent a message immediately unto them, desiring them to come unto him. And it came to pass that they went immediately, obeying the message which he had sent unto them, and they went in unto the house of Zizram. Excuse me again, I'm sorry. And they found him upon his bed, sick, being very low with a burning fever, and his mind also was exceeding sore because of his iniquities. And when he saw them, he stretched forth his hand and besought them that they would heal him. And it came to pass that Alma said unto him, taking him by the hand, "Believest thou in the power of Christ unto salvation?" Do you believe in the salvation of Jesus Christ? And he answered and said, "Yea, I believe all the words that thou hast taught." And Alma said, "If thou believest in the redemption of Christ, thou canst be healed." And he saith, "Yea, I believe according to thy words." And then Alma cried unto the Lord, saying, "O Lord our God, have mercy on this man, and heal him according to his faith, which is in Christ." And it came to pass that when Alma had said these words, Zizram leaped upon his feet and began to walk. And this was done to the great astonishment of all the people, and the knowledge of this went forth throughout all the land of Sidon. Zizram was healed at that moment because of his faith in Christ, whom he had scorned and lied about and tried to twist the words of Alma and Amulek about. Zizram had come so far from where he was that he was healed. Does that make you feel like you've got a chance? It makes me feel like I've got a chance. I mean, if Zizram can make it, if he can be healed, you know, I've got a chance. And this was done to the great astonishment of all the people, and the knowledge of this went forth throughout all the land of Sidon. And Alma baptized Zeezrom unto the Lord, and he began from that time forth to preach unto the people. And Alma established a church in the land of Sidon and consecrated priests and teachers in the land to baptize unto the Lord whosoever were desirous to be baptized. And it came to pass that they were many, for they did flock in from all the region round about Sidon and were baptized. But as to the people that were in the land of Ammonihah, they yet remained a hard-hearted and a stiff-necked people. And they repented not of their sins, ascribing all the power of Alma and Amulek to the devil. For they were of the profession of Nehor and did not believe in the repentance of their sins. And it came to pass that Alma and Amulek, having forsaken all his gold and silver and his precious things which were in the land of Ammonihah, for the word of God, he being rejected by those which were once his friends and also by his father and his kindred, therefore after Alma having established the church at Sidon, seeking a great check, yea, seeing that the people were checked as to the pride of their hearts and began to humble themselves before God, and began to assemble themselves together at their sanctuaries to worship God before the altar, watching and praying continually that they might be delivered from Satan and from death and from destruction. Now, as I said, Alma having seen all these things, therefore he took Amulek and came over to the land of Zarahemla and took him to his own house and did administer unto him in his tribulations and strengthen him in the Lord. And thus ended the 10th year of the reign of the judges over the people of Nephi. And yes, we see that even a rich man can repent of his sins and be healed by Christ and be forgiven of his sins and be baptized and become a preacher in the Church of Christ. Zeezrom did it. Many other people have done it since then. I've done it. I've repented of my sins, and now I'm a preacher in the Church of Christ, just like Zeezrom. And if you go to other countries in this world, they'll look at me and say, that's a very rich man. And he's been forgiven of his sins, and he's a preacher in the Church of Christ. And you can say unto them, yes. What matters is what's in your heart. If you'd harrowed up your heart and broken up the clods after the ground has been plowed, after that first message that you've received for the first time, that plowing in your heart, in your mind, that lays the ground open and bare, and then they come through again with the thing that they drag behind the tractor that breaks up all the clods and makes it all nice and powdery and smooth, and you can plant stuff like crazy. If after that you allow them to plant the seed in your heart and you stay together as a group and you worship God together as a group and you study and you pray together that Satan will not come in and start to plant the weeds in your heart, then yes, all of us here in the United States can make it if we want to, no matter how rich we are. We could all make it. But we have to desire it. We have to admit that we were doing things wrong. We have to admit that we lied to the people. Told them it was okay to commit sin, that God wouldn't mind and he'd forgive them. As a nation, we have to do this. If we will go and admit that we were wrong and that it's not okay to sin, it's not okay to kill our babies, it's not okay to have these sinful relations that are contrary to the laws of God, if we will admit this as a nation, and ask God to forgive us, and we could all be saved. But you have to be willing to do what Alma and Amulek did to convince them. So, I hope that I've answered the question, Owen. I hope you got your answer. Yes, a rich man can enter into the kingdom of heaven. It depends upon the conditions of his heart. If he loves God more than he loves riches, and he believes in the words that are written in these books, then yes, he can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thank you.